We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davim ben Menachem Shem Kam Yaakov Pinchas Leo. We're in Tamid Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph. This Masechta, it's called Masechas Tamid, is all about the Kapana Tamid. There was a Keves, the Tamid Shel Shachar, a Keves in the morning, and a Keves Hashini Taseh Ben Harbayim, as we know from Parshas Pinchas, and another Keves that was brought as part of the Kapana Tamid in the afternoon. This was a communal offering. It was done, therefore, even on Shabbos, even though it involved Malacha. And the Mishnah here teaches us that there are three places where there were Kohanim who stood guard in the Beis Hamikdash. We'll see that Maseches Tamid is just pretty much about the routine of what happened in the Beis Hamikdash. Very little to think about here, just kind of facts. And the Mishnah begins by telling us these three areas where the Kohanim would guard. What's the source that we need guards? So we have a pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar. In Perek Gimel, it says, V'hachonim lefnei hamishkan, kedma. It says the word shomrim, it says the word mishmeres, and it says the word limishmeres. It says the Bartuna Ramaz l'sholosh mishmaros b'shlosh mekamos. This is a hint that there are three mishmaros, three guards, in three different places in the Mishkan. And if it's true in the Mishkan, where he had Aaron and his two sons who stood guard, so too we are going to have three guards in the Mikdash as well. So there are three places where this happened. The pasuk also says in Bamidbar Yodches v'neluvu alecha v'shomru es mishmeres olam ha'oed. So there we have. So the fact that we have three, we have from the previous pasuk, fact that we need shmir at all, is from this pasuk in Bamidbar Yudches, v'nilavu alecha v'shamru es mishmeres ohel moed, referring to the Levim, the Kohanim, should guard the ohel moed. So the first place the Mishnah tells us is Beis Avtinas. The first place where there was a guard was the Beis Avtinas. Beis Avtinas was a family. They were in charge of making the ktoris, the incense. That's in Sos Maseches Yuma in the third perek. So this Beis Avtinas was above the Shar Hamayim. There was on the south side, there was a Shar Hamayim. There was a gate known as the Shar Hamayim. It was called the Shar Hamayim because that was the gate through which they brought the flask of water that was drawn from the Shiloach during the 7 days of Sukkot for Nisuch HaMayim. So the water walked through there to be poured down the Mizbeach. So that was called the Shar HaMayim. Above that, on that south side, was where this Beis Avtinas was. So it was an upper story. It was an elevated structure. The next place was a guard there. Beis HaNitzotz, that was another place. The Beis HaNitzotz was above the Shar HaNitzotz. The Shar HaNitzotz was a shar called Nitzos from the word spark, because there was a fire there. In case the Mizbeach needed more fire, you took wood or coals from there, which was in that shar. So above that was another elevated structure, a room known as the Beis HaNitzos. So in the Beis HaNitzos, there was another guard. There's some discussion here about the status of the Beis Avtinas, the Beis HaNitzos. If these rooms really had the status of the Azara, the courtyard itself of the Beis HaMikdash, then it would be prohibited for anyone to sit there. People, the Avtinas family involved in making the Ktores, if they're really officially in the Azara, they wouldn't be able to sit down at all, because the rule is, Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara Elo Machus Beis David Bulav. The only person who can sit in the Azara is the Melech Yisrael, not even the Kohen Gadol. So how do we understand this? Did they really stand the whole time, and these guards stood the whole time, and the Beis HaNitzotz as well? If this is officially the Azara, although it's an elevated structure, so it's an upper story, so then the guards maybe wouldn't be able to sit. So there's some discussion about that. Some would claim that because they were elevated, the Aliyos, the upper stories of the Azara, actually were not Kadosh, did not have the same status of the Kedusha of the Azara, and that's why you could sit in those areas. And others claim that there were two parts, really two entrances. They're part of these rooms, the Beis Avtinas, Beis HaNitzos, were in the Azara itself, but part of the room was outside the Azara. So you could sit, and the guard could sit, or the Beis Avtinas, the people Avtinas family could sit in the area that was not above the Azara itself, that was not part of the Azara. And the third room where there was a guard was Ubeves HaMoked. The Beis HaMoked was another place where there was a Kohen who stood guard. And by the way, the purpose of this Shemirah, Bar Tanura says, is B'mnei HaKavo. This is not about the protection. It's to give honor. It's a gedulahi, lebayis shalo yehei, below shomrim. It's showing proper dignity and honor to the Beis HaMikdash to have a guard. So that's why we have three guards. The third is the Beis HaMoked. The Beis HaMoked, that was a dome structure, as we'll see, that was on the ground floor. That was also part of the Azara. And this was... It was built into the northern wall of the Beis HaMikdash itself. It was large. Some people would call it the not so much a house of Beis HaMikdash. It was more like a hallway. And because there wasn't just one room, one chamber. There were several rooms that were in there, and that's in fact where the Kohanim would sleep overnight. The Beis HaMoked had different ledges, as we will see, and that's where the Kohanim would sleep until the next morning when they would have to do the Avoda. The Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaros. We've mentioned this in the past. Each Mishmar family would serve for approximately 2 weeks a year. And each day there was a different Beis Av. So the Beis Av was the one that was sleeping there to get ready for the service, for the Avodah, for the next day. So who are these Shomrim? So the Mishnah here says, the Horovim Shomrim Shom. So Rovim, what does that mean? So it says about Tuna, Rovim are Yiladim. The word Ravya, like can we say that the Kruvim are Kiravya. They are like, that's why they're called Kruvim, Kiravya, they're like children. So here too, the Horovim mean referring to children, they were the ones who guarded, who did the guarding. Some claim that they're called Rovim from the word Rovek Hashas, like an archer. So they were, means they were very accomplished, very athletic. They could run up the stairs and they could serve as Shomrim in such a way. Either way, if we're speaking about young people, youngsters, so there's some question about why they should have the ability to do Shmira. How old are they? If they're considered Yiladim because they're below 13. So then, that's a shomer. You're going to tell me that shows cover to the Beis HaMikdash. That shows protection to the Beis HaMikdash. So that would be difficult. And to claim that they were above 13. So above 13, they should be doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Why are they acting as shomer? The whole purpose of having rovim, having young children, is because this is what they needed to do because they couldn't do the avoda. So some explain that we're speaking about between the ages of 13 and 20. In fact, it wasn't until age 20 that a Kohen could do the Avodah. Others claim he could do it at 13, but the minhag was wait till 20. So that's true. So then we understand maybe between 13 and 20, have a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, so they could act as a shomer, and that's what we mean when we speak about Yelodim. Not to be confused with what we call the Pirchei Kuhuna. Pirchei, the young Kohanim, that's a reference to maybe when they're in their young 20s. Hopefully that won't turn into a siren. So the Rovim are young, probably between 13 and 20. And when we speak about Perchei Kuhuna, those are the younger Kohanim, a little bit over 20. Says the Mishnah, Beis HaMoked Kippah. The Beis HaMoked, which was on ground level, was a kippah, was like a dome. And the Beis HaMoked, it sounds like Beis HaMoked is put in a different category than the Beis HaTinos and the Beis HaNitzos. Now, one reason for that is because there are the Beis HaNitzos are base and the Beis HaTinos are upper stories, and the Beis HaMoked was a lower story, was on the ground. But it sounds like it doesn't mention anything about the Rovim, the young children guarding in the Beis HaMoked. So some claim, no, it was young children of between 13 and 20, whatever the age is, who did the guarding in the Beis HaMoked. Moked, just like in the other two rooms, in the other two chambers. And others claim no. In the Beis HaMoked, in fact, there were Pirchei Kuhuna. These, in the Beis HaMoked, there were older Kohanim who stood guard, and that's why when the Mishnah mentions the Rovim HaShomrim Sham, the young children, which we said it between 13 and 20, that's only a reference to the first two chambers. But in the Beis HaMoked, older Kohanim were in charge. And then the Mishnah describes this room. Uvayis gadol haya. This was a large room. We said it's almost like a hallway. This Beis HaMoked. Mukuf rovodim shel evin. And it was encircled with ledges of stone. The ledges of stone, these wide blocks of huge stone were there. It set into the walls, were there for the Kohanim to climb up, but also for the Kohanim to sleep there. And Viziknei Beis Av Yishenim Sham. The elder people of the Beis Av, we mentioned the Beis Av, or the Kohanim that served that particular week of that Mishmar, or that particular day rather, they would sleep there on those ledges. Umaftechos Ha'azara Biyadam, and they would have in their hands the keys to the Azara. Upirchei Kuhuna, and the younger Kohanim, which we said, Pirchei Kuhuna means they're over 20, they can do the Avoda, they are not needed for, maybe they stood guard in the Beis HaMoked, but Pirchei Kuhuna could certainly do the service, let's say above 20. Ish kisto ba'aretz, each one had his cushion, his pillow on the ground, which means that the ledges that were there that looked like steps were there for the elder Kohanim to have a little bit of a bed, but the younger Kohanim who would serve in the Beis HaMikdash, they would have the blanket or a mattress or something on the ground. They would not sleep on those ledges. Lo yushenim b'vei day kodesh. So the Mishnah says they wouldn't sleep in their big day kodesh, in their big day kahuna. We know the four big day kahuna a regular kohen would wear. So they would not sleep in them. Why would they not sleep in them? So we assume that it's inappropriate for them to sleep in the big day kahuna. But that doesn't mean that they have to quickly strip themselves of the big day kahuna the second they walk out of the azor or finish the avoda. We assume lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharei. His Torah is not given to angels. We can't take off our clothing so quickly. So when the avoda is over, they don't have to rush to remove the clothing. So and they can wear it, and perhaps they can get some. Obviously, it's understood. Maybe it's built in that they can get some hanah from it. Even though the avoda is over, or maybe they left, or even though they've left the azara, nonetheless, certainly to sleep in it, that would not be appropriate. Ela postin u'mekaplin, they would fold the clothing, the b'dei kahuna, and they would remove them rather, and they fold them. U'menichin osan tachas roshem, and they would place them under their head. Now the Bar Tanura says they wouldn't place them under the head. Keneged roshem lo tachas roshem mamish. Doesn't really mean under. It literally means that, but that's not really what they did. They put it next to their heads. They didn't use the clothing as a pillow. They put it to the side of their head. Lefi sheyesh b'big day kahuna sheyesh b'hem kilayim. Kahuna have nek. Big day kahuna had kilayim. Was the avnet, the belt. So there was the hat and the kuto, the big bas, the kutona, mitznefes, the kutones, and the mechnasayim that were not made out of kilayim. But the avnet, the belt, was made of kilayim. They would semer pished him in that. So you certainly couldn't put your head on that. So therefore, it must be that they place the clothing on the side. Some claim that when it says they place the clothing on the side, that just means the avnet, the other clothing, didn't have to be placed on the side. Or maybe all the clothing were placed on the side because of the concern of the avnet. And others claim that really you can read the Mishnah as tachas umenichem osam tachas rasheyan. What clothing they put under their head? The three clothing, just the avnet was on the side. And in fact, they literally did put their heads on that. And others would claim that even if the avnet is not problematic, because the avnet was very stiff and getting hot, and the only problem of kilayim of shatnez is when you're getting hanah from it. You wouldn't be getting hanah from it necessarily because it was very coarse, very stiff, and therefore even to put it on your head would not be an issue. That's some discussion about that. Umis kasin bichsus atzmon. So what would they wear to sleep if they had to take off the big kahuna? So they wore their own pajamas. Let's say one of the Kohanim had a seminal emission. So now they can't do the Avodah. They shouldn't even be in the Beis HaMikdash. They have to go to the Mikvah. So Yotzei Baholech Lo B'misiba HaHoleches Tachas HaBira. The Bira either means this was a special place in the Mikdash in the Azara. Others claim the Bira is a reference to the Azara in general. There was a Misiba. There was a tunnel that was under the Bira through which they could walk from this Beis HaMokad, from this room. It was called Beis HaMoked because the Mokdah, there was a fire there for them to warm themselves. And they would walk, and this Kohen who became a Baal Keri would walk under the Bira, the Haneros Dolkin, Mikanu Mikanu. There actually were candles that were lit on either side because it was dark, this way you could see. Achu Magil, the Beis HaTfilah, till he got to the Mikvah. There was a Mikvah underneath there as well. And he walked through this tunnel because the tunnels, although he is Tamei, the tunnels were not kadosh. So that's why, says the Bar Tanura, b'mechila ha-mahaleches tachas habir. This was a tunnel that was underneath. And umbinesha yabal keri, loya mahalech derech azor. We couldn't walk derech of the azor itself, eloderech ha-mechilos, rather through the tunnels. Dikai melon, we paskin in tamen al-chav zayin ha-beis, mechilos lonis kachu. These areas of the tunnels were not kadosh, therefore he could walk through it even though he was tamen. He got to the beis hatfilu, medura ha-yisasham. There was a medura there that he could be warmed. Ubeis kisei shel kavod. You know, it was there as well. There was a beis kisei, there was a washroom, there was a bathroom of kavod. So the first thing is, what's the bathroom? So he asked you what bathroom for, and why do we call it that of kavod? So he needs to use the bathroom because if he's a Baal Keri and he goes to the mikvah and then he urinates right afterwards, so then he becomes a Baal Keri once again. That's not going to help him. So therefore he has to go to use the bathroom, relieve himself before he actually goes to the mikvah. Then the mikvah is going to be metahir him. And so, and why was this Beis HaKisei called that of Kavod? What was the Mishnah explains. This, in fact, was the what the honor was, or we'll speak about really the dignity of people. The idea here was that someone, no one should walk in on someone who's using the bathroom. So mitzaona ul, if you found it locked or the door closed, yodea sheish adam, you knew that it was occupied. So pasuach, if it was open, yodea shein sham adam, you knew it was vacant, then you could go in. This was also, according to some there, for the purposes of avoiding people talking in the bathroom. If you knock on the door, someone has to respond, or people shouldn't be talking in the bathroom. So this is the base hakise of kavod. Yarad of Tavel, so he went down and immersed himself in the mikvah. All of his topic, he came up and he dried himself off. V'nischamim kinegel medura, and he warmed himself up next to the medura, next to the fire that was there near the mikvah. Bava yashav lo eisel echad kohanim, and then he came back to sit with his fellow kohanim once again where he was to begin with. Ad shahasharim niftachim, until the gates would open, the gates of the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, and Yotzei v'holechlo, then he would leave. He would not go to the Azara because he's not completely tohor just yet. He is a tevul yom. He can't do the avoda in such a case. He has to wait. Although he went to the mikvah, he has to wait till Harev Shemesh, till the sun sets, and only then can he, or would he be able to do the avoda. This is based on the psukim of Parshas Naso, of the issue of Harabais, is going up to Harabais, is all based on that. The pasuk says, v'yishalchu min machaneh kol tzoroh v'chol zov. So the Baratunur here tells you, oh, v'chol zov l'rabos baal keri. So the baal keri is included in this prohibition of v'chol zov, and therefore he has to be, he has to leave the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if he's a tvul yom, he really shouldn't be in the Beis HaMikdash. So what allows him to stay in the Beis HaMokeh, this room, all night? We understand the tunnels are in Kadosh, but the Beis HaMokeh, this is an area that's Kadosh. The Kohanim who have to be there have to be Torah. So some discussion about that. Some will claim that not the entire Harabayis was not usher to a tvul yom. Only a certain portion of that. The Ezras Nashim, the area called the Chel, but the place where the Beis HaMokeh, this hall of fire was not in that particular area. Others claim that it's the middle of the night. He went to the mikvah. You don't expect him to leave the Beis HaMikdash under these circumstances. And others would claim that the whole prohibition is to leave the Beis HaMikdash, to leave the Mikdash when a person becomes tummy, like in this case, a Baal Keri, who's included in Zav, is only when the person is a full Baal Keri. But here is the person who already went to the mikvah. He's a tful yom. So this only it's only midrabanan that is asr for him to be in the on the harabais, and therefore we allow him to stay until the evening is over. And then he leaves, and of course will not do the avoda. Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis. Misha who wrote a litrom es hamezbeach, mashkim v'tovel ad shelo yavo hamemuna. Here we're speaking about trumas hadeshen, haramas hadeshen. The Torah says in Vayikra Vav, v'herimas hadeshen v'samo etzel hamizbeach. This is where a Kohen went up onto the mizbeach every morning. He scooped up a shovel full of ashes from the karbonos of the previous day, came down and placed it in the azara, on the floor of the azara, to the mizrach of the kevesh, of the ramp of the mizbeach. This is not the same as hotzas hadeshen. We've had hotzas hadeshen. Hotzas HaDeshen is where you have to remove ashes and you get rid of the ashes from the Mizbeach. That's not what this is. And the Chachamim at the beginning thought that this, you have to wake up really early, even before dawn, to do the, before Amud HaShachar, to do this. What kind of kavod is this avoda anyway? So they thought what they normally had was a lottery. They didn't have a lottery for this particular avoda initially because they figured no one would want to do it. Lotteries in the Beis HaMikdash is where the Kohanim would stand around in a circle and put out one finger, and the Mimunah, the one who's in charge of doing the lottery, would call out a number, a very large number, and take off his hat and start counting from there, a number that was much larger than all of the Kohanim who were there, and go around until he hit that number, and that Kohen would be chosen for one avoda, and then he would do it for another avoda, etc. So that was not needed at the very beginning, at least, for Haramas HaDeshen, because who would be willing to do so? Yet, in fact, people were interested in doing so. So they had decided, okay, we'll have a little contest. Whoever could run up to Mizbech, may know this from Maseches Yuma in the second parak. Whoever runs up to the top of Mizbeach and gets to within the four amos of the top of Mizbeach first, he will do Trumas HaDeshen until someone ended up falling off or getting pushed off and he broke his leg. And they said, okay, that's not a good idea. Let's begin by doing a pious, let's do a lottery for this as well. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. After all of those stories, historically, is when we speak about this Mishnah. before the Memuneh. The Memuneh was the person, was a Kohen, who we'll see in the in this Masechta many times. What was his job? He had a lot of jobs. Some claim it was several Memuneh, and others claim no, it was one Memuneh who did all of these jobs, which was to gather the Kohanim for the pious, for the lottery, to check the Azar, as we'll see. He would send, we'll see in the third parak, send Kohanim up to the roof to see whether it was Alos HaShachar or not. We needed to, who would be in charge to announce, to make sure that we got the kivasim from the Milishkas Hatla'im, which is a special chamber where they had the lambs. Who led the Kohanim in there in the davening? So he would do that as well. When he would announce when it was time for the Torahs to be brought. So this was the Memuneh, the one who was appointed in charge of the Kohanim. So that's what it says here in the Mishnah. Whoever wanted to do Trumas Hadeshen would have to get up early, Vitovel, and go to the mikvah. We wanted him to go to the mikvah so that right away, whoever was chosen this way, a lot of people would get up early and go to the mikvah. In case you're chosen, this way you can do the avoda immediately. You don't have to waste any time. And we tell him to the, before the Memuneh, the appointed Kohen, even comes in to do the lottery, make sure you got up early and you went to the mikvah already. So that's what the Mishnah says they would do. When would the Memuneh actually come? So the answer is there was no fixed time. Lo kol ha'itim shavos. It wasn't always the same time. Sometimes he'd come as early as the Kriyas HaGever. That may be when the rooster crows, that may be when the Gever, the person who announced that it was time to get up to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash would call out. That could be as early as the last third of the night, on a perfect night from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So that last third of the night begins at 2 a.m. So that's quite early. Maybe a little bit before, maybe a little bit after. So you had to get up really early if you wanted a Trumas Hadeshen. And you have to go to the mikvah, of course, to do so. Then the Memuneh would come and knock on the door in the Beis HaMoked. That's where all the Kohanim were sleeping. Remember, the younger Kohanim on the floor, the older Kohanim who are on the ledges. They paschulo, and they would open up the door for the Memuneh to walk in. Amar lahen, he would announce to them, Misha Tavel, whoever went to mikvah, Yavo Yaf is come and be part of the lottery. Hey, Fisu, they did the lottery. Zacha, Misha Zacha, and whoever was Zoche, whoever won the lotteries, so he would be the one who would do the Trumas Hadeshen.